I'm here at the 2024 Community Mental Health Association of Michigan Fall Conference in beautiful Traverse City. And I'm here with Cassandra Phipps, and she is the Director of Children's Initiatives for the Detroit Wayne Integrated Health Network, DWIHN. Her Children's Initiatives primarily provides management and oversight for all activities with the Children's Department and is responsible for the overall design and ongoing implementation of DWIHN's system transformation efforts for children with serious emotional disturbance and intellectual developmental disabilities. Cassandra is also a licensed minister and passionate about helping others gain clarity in pursuing one's life purpose through spiritual and clinical practices. Cassandra, would you please take us on your journey?
Sure, and thank you so much, Lois, for meeting with me today in this wonderful city of Traverse City for the annual Community Mental Health Association Conference. This work is so dear and important to me, specifically working with children and families. When I first started off in this world, I had no idea that I would be led in this direction. So when people ask me, well, how did you get into doing this work? I always say, well, it called me. You know, it kind of landed in my lap. I didn't originally pursue wanting to be a counselor or working in community mental health. Actually, I started off going to Eastern Michigan University. I wanted to be a music teacher.
Can I ask you, what about your family, your early life?
Oh, sure, yes. When I was younger, you know how people say, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? I was such a daydreamer. Like, I love Xena, Warrior Princess. Like, I love the Power Rangers. I was such a daydreamer. I was always attaching myself to a character, like on a TV show or something like that. But I really didn't know. I really did not know. And it wasn't until I got to high school and I went to Cass Tech, Inner City Detroit, and I was horrible at playing the violin. I saw someone in the hallway playing the violin, and he was an alumni at Cass. And I'm like, oh, wow, he's so awesome. And I was like, can you tutor me? And so he started working with me one-on-one, and I got really good at it because I was just horrible. And so I was really passionate about music. It was a way of me being able to express myself. I was very shy growing up. I have a twin sister, and so my twin was the extrovert. I was the introvert. I was the quiet, reserved one.
Oh, my gosh, I just have to tell people that it's so not you in this moment.
I know. When people look at me now, they would not even correlate that how I used to be. And so I was very quiet. But music was a way of me being out there. You know, I didn't speak a lot, but I played and I became the principal violinist. And so I did a lot of solos. I did a lot of performances. We had competitions. We traveled. And so I wanted to be a music teacher because the joy that I felt with playing, I wanted to be able to spread that joy and help kids have that joy with being able to express themselves through music as well. And so I auditioned at Eastern. I ended up getting a full tuition scholarship at Eastern, and I was in the orchestra, but I had pain from playing, bursitis. And so I wasn't able to play anymore. And so I was halfway through my program because as a music major, you have to start your music classes as a freshman. And so I was taking general education classes and music classes. And so I'm on a scholarship. And so I'm like, what am I going to do now? And so I really prayed about it. And God called me into ministry. Even when I was in undergrad, I was about, 19 years old. And so I was like, okay. And so I went to the Career Center on campus, took the Myers-Briggs personality assessment, found out I'm an INFJ.
What is that?
So INFJ is for those that are counselors, teachers, spiritual leaders. And so it kind of fit my personality. And so I actually went to a seminary school for grad school, but I studied psychology. since then, I've been doing both. I've been doing ministry and I've been doing counseling. And so because I did a psychology program when I graduated, for those that are in the field, they know with psychology, you get a temporary limited license, a TLLP. But there was a lot of work you could not do with that licensure. But my first work was with Juvenile Assessment Center, where I was a home-based contractual therapist to try to help families be reunified back with their parents. So they've experienced some type of abuse or neglect. And I loved it. I've never done home base before, but I was able to drive, go to meet them in their home setting, meet them in their environment to work with them. And from there, I segue into community mental health as a home-based therapist. And so I absolutely loved it. One of the evidence-based practices I was trained in was trauma-focused CBT, where you really learn about trauma and helping families deal with the trauma that they experience. And I loved it. It's such a hands-on approach. The children and the families that we work with, they have so many complex needs where they might need help at home, they might need help in school, they might need help in the community, or there could be a probation involved, or so many different components to where I really felt like the work that we do was so beneficial to help meet those needs. I worked well with wraparound and with parent support partners and youth peer support partners, that really holistic approach to really try to help get kids and families connected to services that are going to benefit them. So now I'm at Detroit One Integrated Health Network. I've always been passionate about working with children and families. I found my niche, is so you can say, right? That's what we try to tell, you know, For those that are going through school now, like, what is your niche? You know, try to figure out what you are called to or what you're drawn to, your purpose. And so this is it for me. I enjoy it. I have a great team with our Children's Initiatives Department, and we work really well with other departments as well. And a couple of years ago, we launched the Putting Children First Initiative because kids were really struggling with coming out of the pandemic. And they had a lot of needs. They were trying to reintegrate back into school and really reintegrate back into the community. And whether that was substance use or suicidality, all of these different things. We're like, what can we do to really help put our focus on our children? And so we focused on the different age populations. We focused on the little kids, which is age 0 to 6. We focused on youth transitioning to adulthood or transitioning to getting employment or going to college. We focused on the juvenile justice and foster care. That was our priority. And so really looking at how can we help advance them getting connected to services? How can we focus on crisis intervention, prevention, and treatment? And so that has been our focus for the last couple of years, and it's been phenomenal. We've really developed a lot of new programs over the couple of years to help with that. And I just really love the partnership that we have with the different departments, our substance use department. We work a lot with our quality. And of course, our providers. We have awesome providers in Wayne County that are so passionate with the work that we do. And we've been able to really put a lot of great programming and services in place. One of the things I'm really proud of is that we do a lot of outreach in the community explaining about our services. And so we met a group called Detroit Campionerist. They were teaching kids how to create soap and self-care products. That's one of the things that we brought to partner with our providers, is now they are able to host workshops and teach kids how to create bath bombs and how to create soap, but also teach them entrepreneurship skills. That's something that's creative, that's innovative, but it's a way that we're repairing, you know, as we're trying to tell you about our services and bring you through the door, let us also help meet some of those life skill needs as well to introduce and expose you to. And that's one of the things that I feel is very important, is exposure. Let's expose you to something new. Let's expose you to something creative. Let's expose you to something fun that you might not have ever been introduced to before. We really focus on our teenagers and our young adults. They literally just had a meeting with some of our youth peer supports and our youth advocates. And one of the things that came out in initial assessment was our young adults need help with financial literacy. Right? They need help with learning how to budget, learning how to manage their money, learning how to be prepared for when they become an adult. And so ideas are already thinking in my mind, well, how can we connect you, right? How can we help meet that need? And so as we're addressing mental health needs and supports, how can we help you be stable? How can we also address that, we call it the Maslow hierarchy of needs, where we're helping you with your basic skills? And because if a family is struggling with their basic needs, mm-hmm. how can they work on their emotionality? How can they work on coping skills? How can they work on becoming stable if they're still struggling at the basic level? And so it helps with empowerment and helps them with confidence, and it helps them with being able to feel that, wow, I can do this. I'm also passionate about our church community, our faith-based community, because there's still so much stigma about mental health. And I have my own lived experience with, you know, struggling with trauma or, you know, suicidality when I was younger, and people would never know when they look at me, but I know what it's like to be struggling in silence and not say anything. And so as we bring it to the churches and bring it to our faith-based community and trying to educate that help is available and that we don't have to continue to wear the mask of that, what we have on it with our attire or our makeup. Well, what's underneath the surface? What are some things that we've been through that we've kept pushing down and suppressing? And it shows up in our relationships, or it shows up in not being able to keep employment, or it shows up in our attitude and our behavior and our emotions, things that we have never even worked on or addressed within ourselves.
So can I just ask you, how did you come rise up from the challenges that you just mentioned in your life?
Well, one of the things that we talk about a lot is having protective factors. And so protective factors are, what are things that you are engaged in that bring you joy and that are meaningful for you? At that time, I transitioned from being in Detroit and moving to Grosse Pointe. And at the time, me and my sister, we were the only kids of color in the school and in the community. And so it was a big adjustment for me. And I felt like so disconnected. I felt disconnected because I was in a new school environment. The family support that I had when I was in the city, I wasn't able to see my family as much. And as I reflect back, my grandmother had passed away as well. And so the things that I had that were close to me were now gone. And I felt like I couldn't talk to anyone. I didn't have anyone to relate to, or no one understood me. And then also I was very quiet and reserved. I didn't know how to express myself. I didn't know how to communicate what I was going through. And I just got very emotional, to where it boiled into wanting to end my life. And so it wasn't until I got to middle school, we moved to Tennessee. We came back up to Michigan. When I say that music was a form of escape, like it was a way for me to connect to something that was expressive. And then also I ended up joining a church. And so I was a part of a lot of different activities in church as well. And so that is now my protective factors. I really do feel like our young people, even us as adults, we have to have things that we are connected to that keeps us going, that brings us joy, that has some type of fulfillment in our lives. And so that was helpful for me when I was younger, was getting involved in activities and having meaning to some of the things that I was doing.
So yes. I just want to say that you said how important exposure is.
Yes.
So for young people who are quiet and do not express, exposing them might just bring them that one thing that you're not aware of and they're not aware of.
So exactly. Yes. Sometimes I think we take it for granted, the connections that we have.
Right.
As your podcast is called Connections, right? You know? Yes. Yeah, no, I think sometimes we take it for granted, because once it's taken away, it's like, okay, there's a void here. How do I deal with this? I was disconnected. And so that's what the work that we do is, we help people stay connected. We have what we call Reach Us Detroit, where now teenagers, they can text, you know, so maybe they don't feel comfortable calling, they can text a number to reach us Detroit, and they can get connected to someone that can help them.
I love that.
You know, we're really trying to be innovative, like how can we meet the needs of our community and the teens that we work with now in the culture, right? We have a mobile app now. We have Youth United, which is a prevention group where they go in the community and really hear our youth voice and what is important to you. So we do a lot of advocacy, and we provide platforms for our parents and for our youth to be able to speak and to share what's important for them.
So do your team members go out into the schools? How do you let the community know this is here?
We constantly are going out sharing about the work and services for Wayne County. There's billboards out there in Wayne County. If you're driving down the freeways, you'll see them. We have a school success initiative program where we're in about 70 schools in Wayne County. So we have great children providers that are co-located in those schools. They do a lot of support, not only the students, but also the teachers. They are addressing those risk factors. So they're talking about bullying. They're talking about anxiety and depression. They're talking about suicide prevention. They're talking about anger management, dating violence. When this program first rolled out, there was an assessment from the schools, like, what do you all need? So those were the risk factors that we've developed. And because of the pandemic, we added trauma and grief and loss is one of those risk factors that we help educate on with the schools.
So can I just ask you, mentioned children, staff, what about families?
Yes. It really does take that holistic approach, because if we don't work with the whole family unit, where's the stability? Even though the youth is coming in, it's what we call the identified client is a term, but really it's not only working with the youth that came in that needed services, but what are the needs of the whole family? So we are getting them connected with wraparound, which is a whole family model. They are getting connected to, depending on what the needs are, but also what the family is also agreeing to participate in. So sometimes we are linking them to a parent support partner. Sometimes we are, even if the siblings need services or support, we're trying to help the siblings as well. That's the work that holistic approach, that family system approach that we take when we're trying to identify what supports are needed and really help connect them to whatever those needs are. So definitely.
Oh my gosh, what an exciting program.
And Thank you.
You are just, I have to explain in podcasts because people can't see you. You have an amazing smile, an amazing energy, an amazing presence of confidence.
Oh, thank you so much.
I'm so excited to learn about all the innovative ways that you are using to reach out. And you keep referencing your team, and they must be very dynamic people as well.
So awesome.
With big hearts.
Yes. We can't do it alone. This is all hands on deck. Type of gig, right? Yes. And I just want to leave you with this. There's a quote that I put on my email, actually, from Maya Angelou that says, try to be a rainbow in someone else's cloud. That's how I try to show up. Sometimes the challenges that we're trying to do with doing this work can be heavy. It can be a lot. It can be exhausting or draining. But how we show up, our attitude, our perspective, coming with hope, coming with positivity, coming with we can do this type of thing. That's what I strive is to try to be a rainbow in someone else's cloud. So
you are that rainbow.
Thank you so much.